on raising support to go back to Micronesia because we'd been off the field for about 6 years, five and a half, 6 years, and then we went back, so we needed to raise support. We came over here, and you folks were a real, real inspiration for us. Your spirit is incredible, and that's something I desired to have in the islands. And praise the Lord that we may not have it as well as you, but we do have a good spirit in our church, and that is so important. So we think of you often, and we have many struggles over the years, depressing times, and we just thought about what you guys were doing over here and thought, man, if they can do that in Ireland, we can do that here in Micronesia. And so you don't know, brother, how much of a blessing and an encouragement and inspiration you've been to us. And I'm telling you the truth. You can ask my wife how many churches I've been to. I've not said that one time, but I say that here with a sincere heart. And you guys are a blessing to us. You really are. I thank God for your prayers and support, but just you being over here, reaching your people for the cause of Christ, just encourages me to do it over there. So keep up that good work. Amen. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Many times people ask, what's it like to be in Micronesia? And you ever been in the airport and walking along getting those people movers? Is that what you call them here? People mover? You get on the people mover and it's a track going fast and you double your speed. You know when you get to the end of the track and you go back to stop? That's what it's like to go to Micronesia. Okay, everything just, I mean, it just stops you. And if you fight it, you'll go crazy. So you learn to relax a little bit and just go at their pace. And that's hard. That's hard. But thank you for allowing us to come, and we're just thrilled to be back here. I've known your pastor for years. We were in candidate school together. We enjoyed those days. Had some good preaching, didn't we? And that preaching really helped us out over the years. I remember one of the times. Can I tell a story on your pastor? Can I do that? Yeah, I like it. All right. Well, your pastor and I went out hunting one day. And we were out in the woods, and it was pretty thick, and it came to a big opening. And when we got up to the opening, we noticed it was a huge hole in the ground. Neither of us had ever saw a hole that big in our lives. I looked at him and asked, what is that? He said, I don't know. Never seen anything like it. I said, how deep do you think it is? He said, I don't know. I can't see the bottom. So we looked around, and believe it or not, we saw a transmission. And so we both went back there and grabbed the transmission. We came up to the edge of the hole, and on three, we threw that transmission into the hole. We're hanging over the edge, listening and looking, maybe for a splash of water, nothing. All of a sudden, we heard a noise coming out behind us. And so we both at the same time looked back, and here comes a goat. And that goat was flying, I mean running as fast as it could, went right between us, right down into the hole. We looked at each other like, did you see that? We were amazed. And then a moment later, a farmer came out of that same area. And he came up to your pastor and he said, listen, fellas, I had a goat, but I can't find it. Have you seen my goat? And your pastor said, you're not going to believe this, but we just saw a goat come out of those woods 90 mile an hour and jumped headfirst right into this hole. And that pastor said, that is impossible. I had him tied to a transmission. And before you ask him about it, it was a story, okay? I've told that story before, and people go up, did that really happen? No, it's a story. It's a story. Matthew chapter number 4, if you would. Matthew chapter number 4. Have you ever got in the morning where you wake up and you look in the mirror and you think about the Lord Jesus? And as you look in the mirror, you say, man, I'm not like Him. I fall quite short of the mark. He's our goal. He's who we ought to be desiring to be like. But if you're like me at all, I look in the mirror and say, wow, I fall pretty short. So what can I do about it? Can I live a discouraged life? I guess I could. But I don't believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. In fact, the Lord told His disciples on many occasions to Follow me. Follow me. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm missed the mark on being like Jesus, but one thing I can do, I can follow Him. Amen. And this morning I want to talk about following Jesus. Would you stand up with me as I read the Word of God, Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse number 18. You'll understand the scene as we read, but the Bible says, Matthew 4 and verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from thence, He saw another two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And notice the Bible says, and they immediately left the ships and their father and followed Him." Jesus comes into their lives and says, "Follow Me." One thing I don't notice from this passage is these fellows giving excuses. I don't see them saying, "Wait a minute, Lord. I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and what about this?" They didn't say any of that. In fact, the Bible says, immediately they left their ship and their father and followed Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We can't tell You how much You mean to us. Lord, we thank You for helping us to understand what life is really all about. Now, Lord, I know these people come to hear from You, not from me. And I pray somehow, some way I could get out of Your way. May You speak and minister to each and every heart in here. I have no idea what's going on in the hearts and lives of these people. Somebody here may not know You as their personal Savior. Some may have just a load of problems on their plate or some difficult times. I don't know, but You do. Lord, I'm asking You to minister to each and every heart today. And I want to tell You we love You, and help us this morning to see a great truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Is it safe to say that these fellas probably had their lives totally planned out? I mean, they apparently inherited a fishing business. Their fathers were fishers, as we see from Scripture. And it looked like they probably had their lives all planned out. Okay, we're going to invest in our fishing business. We live in this little village. Our mother and father are here. Our grandpa's here. Our cousins are here. Our friends are here. It's our own home. And we have our whole life planned out. And then Jesus comes along and says, "Follow Me." And they left all of that and followed Him. For 3.5 years, they followed the Lord, and they saw some things that you and I would give our right arm to see. I mean, people who were dead come back to life. People who had sicknesses immediately healed. Lives changed. But you know what? When you get around Jesus, lives do change. Maybe we didn't come back from the dead, but spiritually we did when we met Jesus. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And with Christ, we have life. And so these men had saw so many things. And then we get to chapter number 19. If you would turn there with me, I'd appreciate that. We find that these men perhaps started thinking about, hey, what would it have been like if maybe we just stayed back in that fishing village and didn't follow Jesus? What would that have been like? And they're thinking these things because Peter takes it and he fronts the Lord with a question. And then the Lord responds and He says unto them. So I know He was talking to the group. It wasn't just Peter. But I'm sure they had thought about those things. And certainly, these fellows gave up a lot. They gave up their businesses. They gave up their families. They gave up what they thought was their plan and future to follow Jesus. And so when they did that, now they're thinking, hey, did we make the right decision? Look at verse number 28. "And Jesus said unto them," verse number 27, I'm sorry, "Then answered Peter and said unto Him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have therefore?" You know, that's an amazing question that Peter asked. We find it recorded in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. "Then Peter said unto Him, Lo, we have left all and followed Thee." We find it in Luke chapter 18 and verse 28. "Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed Thee. But here in this portion of Scripture, Matthew records by the Holy Spirit of God the question that Peter had for the Lord, what shall we have therefore? You know, I don't think that's a bad question. As Christians, if our lives are going according to our plan, we probably don't have a thought like that. But when we get discouraged or when we have difficulties in our Christian walk, we may stop and just wonder, hey, what shall we have therefore as a result of following Jesus? I don't think that's a bad question to ask. I think it's pretty natural for every Christian to ask that. And this morning, if you've thought about it, I don't think it's a bad thing. Now, I wish this morning I could cover with you all the benefits of following Jesus, but really we'd be here for the next year nonstop because the benefits of following Jesus are non-stopping. But I can cover a few this morning. You know, the first benefit I found in following Jesus was salvation. In John chapter number 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood nor of the will of man, but of God." Salvation, total gift from God. We couldn't do enough good things to get it. It would have to be a gift offered by someone who was perfect. And praise God, Jesus did that for us. We weren't born because of us. It wasn't anything about us. Born of God. And what a blessing that is. Over 34 years ago, you heard my testimony this morning. I got saved. But I want you to know, nobody had to convince me that I was without sin. I knew that. I mean, a lot of times because I didn't get in trouble with the police, people would say, "You're such a good young man," but you know, inside, I knew that wasn't true. I knew I was a sinner, and although I didn't know much about the Bible, I knew I didn't keep what God wanted me to do. I knew that. So it wasn't hard for the Holy Spirit of God to convict me of my sin. But I was at the Trinity Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio, and that morning I remember the preacher preaching, and he showed me that not only was I a sinner, but then there was a penalty for that sin. That I would have to stand before God and stand in my righteousness, which fell way short. And if I'd have to do that, I'd end up being cast in the lake of fire. You know, that morning I understood there is a result for my actions. And I'll tell you what, my life stopped in its tracks. I said, "Listen, I realize now if I died, I'd go to hell. I don't want that." Now, preacher, and I didn't say that, but I'm thinking in my mind, "You got to tell me something good. You just showed me I have a problem. Now you got to tell me something good here. I'm all ears. What can I do about this problem?" Well, I couldn't do anything about the problem. But he started preaching Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And that when he presented his body a perfect sacrifice to the Father, that it was for me as well if I would come to him. I gladly came to Christ that day and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. And what a change He made into my life. But then I realized that now I had the Great Shepherd living inside of me. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 10 and verse 27. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know all about salvation. I knew I was in trouble. I knew Christ did something for me that I couldn't do. And I realized that if I put my faith and trust in Him, and I repented of my sin, that He would change my life, and He did that. And we find here in John chapter number 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Wow. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, my life changed. I didn't desire my old life. I found something that I had never imagined could be so real in a life. And it wasn't hard for me, preacher, to follow Jesus. I mean, here this guy just forgave me of every sin I committed. I was guilty as charged. But He pardoned me from all my sin. How could I not follow someone like that? Besides that, I realized Jesus knew where heaven was. And I wanted to go to that place called heaven. And I didn't know much about the Bible, but my thinking was this. If I follow Jesus and He knows where heaven is, eventually I'm going to find that place. So it wasn't hard for me to follow Jesus. And you know, when I realized the preciousness of my salvation, that was really the only benefit I understood or even cared about. That my sins were forgiven, and now I was going to be with my Savior forever and ever and ever and ever. What I'm trying to tell you is the Lord had me at benefit number one. I didn't need any more benefits. That's all I needed. And I'm so glad, and I hope you are glad about the salvation, if you're saved, that God has provided for you. There's nothing like it. But then as I started living my Christian life, I found out there's so much more. Wow, that was just the beginning. A beginning of something new with God. And it was His plan for mankind from day one. But we're the ones that failed that plan. And I know we blame it on Adam and Eve, but listen, if we were there, we'd been just as guilty as Adam and Eve. We'd have messed up just like they did. But praise God for His mercy and His grace, which overcomes our shortcomings. Not only did I realize the benefit of salvation, but then I realized the benefit of knowing why I was here. You know, I remember as that teenager, if I was with my friends, you know, everything was all right. We could laugh, we could carry on, we can do those things. But then when I went home, man, I was alone. When I laid my head on that pillow, there was nothing. And I felt that hollowness, that place that God had reserved for Him in my life, that I didn't have Him in there. And until I received Christ, that hollowness was fulfilled. I don't have that loneliness anymore. But I did, and I remember that, and I thought, what is this life really about? You know, I went to school, I worked a job, I ate meals, I went to sleep, and the next day was just the same thing. And I thought, you know, is that all life is about? Is that it? Isn't there nothing more than that? But I'll tell you what, one of the benefits of being saved is that you find out there's a lot more to life than just this daily routine that we have. God has so much prepared for us. Here's Peter and the gang. They're hanging around. They're talking to Jesus. They're thinking about their old life. And I'm sure Peter was thinking about being in this small village, probably sitting in his house looking out the window at his boat there in the harbor. And he loved fishing. You can tell it. We know what happens to him after this time. He goes back to fishing. You know, Jesus dies on the cross. Peter is confused. He doesn't know what to do. He ends up going back fishing again. So I know he loved fishing, and probably this was just one of those days that his mind went back to what it was before he met Jesus. Now, one thing I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're born again, it's not a good thing to go back before your salvation. I don't want to go back there. You know, what the devil will do is he'll try to get you to think, remember all the glory days? Back when we did this and this and this. And He'll let you remember the good things. But what He won't let you to remember about those sins was the heartache and the sorrow and the pain that came along with it. Listen, when you really think about it, God saved you from that life. There's no reason to go back to that life. So as for me, the second Sunday in January of 1980, my life begins. I'm 34 years old. That's it. Don't laugh. I know I may not look 34 years old, but that's all I am in the Lord, 34 years old. There's no need to go back there. Friends, don't go back there. Don't go back to that life of sin. It's a lot worse than what your mind will let you remember. God saved you from that. Praise God with your life. Don't go back there. But then Peter has these concerns, and he's not talking to just anybody here. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus, according to, is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. You can't separate the two. And if the Bible can separate us from bone and marrow, I think the Lord can too. He knows the intents of our thoughts. He's there sitting that day, and He knows the intents of these men's thoughts. He knew their question before they asked it. And Peter asked him, Lord, hey, what are we going to have therefore? Look what he says in verse 28. And Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the thrones of His glory, He also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, Peter, I understand your concerns. I understand you gave up a lot. You gave up your family, you gave up your house, you gave up your business. I understand all that. But Peter, I'm the Lord. I'm the Son of God. And I will repay you for everything you've given up. And He says, hundredfold. Hundredfold. Any investors here in the market? Do you guys have a stock market like we do? You guys invest in that? How many would like 100% return on your money? Would you like that? We would all like that. But that's a gamble, right? When it comes right down to it, you may or may not get a return. You know, with the Lord, there are no gambles. If God says He'll do something, you mark it down, God will do it. He said, Peter, don't worry about it. I got you covered. You're going to have a better life now, and you're going to have a better life in the life to come. Okay, Lord, I don't understand it all. And he didn't understand it all. Jesus already had told him he was going to die on a cross. He was going to be buried and rose again. They didn't understand it. They're trying to figure this thing out. They didn't understand it. I don't believe it was till the resurrection that it all came together and they started figuring out who this Lord really was and what He was capable of. Remember, Jesus took these 12, and the testimony of the world is these men turned the world upside down. That's what God could do with 12. Now look, I can't count how many here, but I know it's more than 12. And if God can do that with those 12, what could He do with us? If we really got in, preacher, and we said, you know, no matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what. If I'm tempted to sin, I'm going to follow Jesus. If I'm with my lost people in my life, I'm going to follow Jesus. No matter what, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I wonder if we really dug in, and if God could use those 12 men to turn the world upside down, what can He do with this church in Ireland? Well, you've inspired a church in Micronesia. We now take on missionaries. We have 3 missionaries at the time. And we're excited about that. It doesn't seem like much, but we're excited about it. And we're glad that we can continue on and take the blessings God has given us and give them out. The church is fully funded on their own. They have no American support, nothing. They're on their own, 100%. And that's all God. And I'm just glad. But when I think about that, Peter here gave up a lot. I think Jesus could have probably said, you remember my servant Job? How he would not curse God? And how he stayed and loved God? And during that, he lost everything. You remember the story of Job? He lost it all. Didn't have anything left. But God remembered him in the end. And we find out most things he got even double back as a return. He could have used that example. But you and I think if we would be honest this morning, we would say that there might be some things in our lives that we've not forsaken. As far as Peter, it said he had forsaken all and followed Jesus. You know, many times we have to give up very little to follow Jesus. In Micronesia, that's not the case. They almost have to make a decision, Jesus or their family. They don't seem to be able to have both. Ibsen Pallett got saved back in 1978. Gave his heart and life to Christ. When he came back, he couldn't go back to the same church. They didn't preach the gospel. But the island is so small, everybody's related. And they believe, like in biblical times where the firstborn got double honor, they get double honor as firstborn. Ibsen was the firstborn. He should have gotten a double inheritance of everything. But when he got saved and left the church, he got cut off. And when you get cut off on an island of 9,000 people, 7 miles wide, everybody's related, you're very isolated. He was the outcast, and you know, however many years that is, 36 years later, it's still the same. His family rejects him. He has no inheritance. He's on his own. But it doesn't matter. He has the Lord. And he has a lot, and he's glad to make that decision. But I'm trying to tell you, it cost him. It cost him. And sometimes Christianity, we'll think, will cost us. We'll have to make some choices. We'll not be able to have both things. But it's all right. Don't you want the better? Choose the better, and you'll end up in the right place. If we would consider, look at Hebrews chapter number 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 12. Our lives, how much have we given up? How much have we really had to? Some of you, maybe you've given up a lot. And people look at your life and say, wow, that guy, that girl, that woman, so different. So different. But others, maybe your life hasn't changed a whole lot. I'm not saying it's good or bad. All right? If you grew up in church and you got saved, that's great. I think it's a wonderful testimony. Or if you had a terrible past and God saved you and you now have a changed testimony, that's great too. Doesn't matter. God changes lives. Whether humans see it or not, God changes lives. And as we look at our lives, there's some things we need to consider. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing about also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, there's some sins in our lives that will slow us down from following Jesus. And if we try to carry those, as the writer of Hebrews states, it's going to slow you down. He says, lay aside those weights. Lay aside those sins. And when God convicts us about something in our life, we shouldn't get angry. If this preacher preaches, thus saith the Lord, we shouldn't get angry. We should agree with God that we've got a problem, that we fall short. Let me just tell you that whatever God asks you to forsake, it's going to be well worth it. It's going to be for your own good. I wonder if we could have Peter come back to life. And after he lived his life and stood at the day of Pentecost and preached the Word of God and 3,000 souls got saved, he knew his purpose in life. Not only that, go to John chapter number 21. Jesus told him how he was going to die. And notice what he said after he tells him how he's going to die. John chapter number 21 and verse 18. Jesus says, speaking to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall girt thee, and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, follow me. He said, Peter, you're going to give your life for my cause. And I want you to follow me. So how did it turn out for Peter? If he came back here today and stood in this pulpit and answered that question to you, hey, was it worth it forsaking all and following Jesus? I believe with all my heart Peter would stand here and say, it was absolutely worth it. Every promise that Jesus promised me was true. It's real. And everything He said I would receive, I have received. What a blessing to have a changed life and to see the Lord do something in our lives. Listen, maybe there's something in your life. It's a sin that you know about and you know it's not right. You're having difficulties letting it go. You know what? If you would forsake that this morning, you know what you'd be telling the Lord? Lord, I love you more than I love this sin. I know this thing doesn't please you in my life. And I want it out of my life. But Lord, now I see. If I lay that and forsake that, a way of saying, I love you, Lord. Boy, what a greater gift could human being give to God than that. I love you, Lord, more than I love this thing in my life. I don't know what God may be dealing with you about, but whatever it is, if you forsake it and give it up for Him, you'll be better off as a result. I guarantee that. I'll have to do it by faith. That's right. That's what the life's all about. Until we see Him, and we will see Him. Amen? We will see Him. It's by faith. I've never seen Jesus, but I know He's real. He's changed my life. Just a matter of time. I wonder if there's something you ought to forsake and follow Him. Look at Luke chapter number 18, verse 29. Luke chapter number 18 and verse 29. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." In Mark it says this, chapter 10 and verse 29, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." About the same thing we read in our text of Matthew 28. You know, some would say that Sandy and I had given up a lot to go follow Jesus. In 1993, we left America. We had owned a home prior to that, had a car, had furniture, sold it all off. We got on a plane, went to a place that my wife and children had never been to. I'd only been there one time. And when we got to the islands, within 3 months, my dad passed away. Now, I had never expected my dad to pass away. He was in good health. Everything was fine. But I never had a chance to say goodbye to my dad. My dad and I, we were the closest. Of all of us five children, I was the closest child to my dad. We had a good relationship. Never had a chance to say goodbye. When we got out to that little island of Jaluit, we didn't even have electricity or running water. How many have smartphones? You have a smartphone? We didn't even have a phone on the entire island. Nothing. When we would want to hear from America, I'd have to go out to Majuro. And that would be the next island that we're going to serve the Lord on. And that's where we gather up our mail for the last 3 months. We didn't hear from anybody for 3 months at a time. I'm telling you, we were out there. My grandmother passes away. I didn't know for 2 months that she had passed away. So when I look at all of that and consider what Peter asked, what shall we have therefore? In a small way, I think I could understand why he asked that question. And as I look back, I said, Lord, now you just told me you're gonna bless me a hundredfold because I forsook all and followed you. Now, how are you going to do that? My dad's pretty big in my life. You know what he showed me? He started showing me these Micronesian men and women and children that came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when I count them up, it's more than 100, preacher. Oh, I missed my dad, but he was saved. I ended up being able to lead him to the Lord later in life. I'll see him again. And not only will I see him, but I'm going to bring 100, I don't know how many Micronesians along. Does God's promises real? They're real. Is my life better as a result of forsaking all and following Him? Absolutely. You can look at my finances. They're better today than they were then. You can look at my Christianity. It's better today than it was then. Everything about my life is better as a result of following Jesus. Now, I don't preach a wealth, you serve the Lord and it's wealth. I'm not saying that. We've had plenty of difficulty times in our lives. But I'm just saying, when God promises something, He's going to deliver on His promise. And my life, as a result of following Him, whether I have possessions or not, is much better off. I would agree with Peter and say that if you would surrender all and follow Him, you're going to be better off. You know, just think about it, just for a moment. To make yourself available for the Creator of the universe to use in some small way. That's all He's asking us to do. Follow Him. Look in the mirror. Maybe you don't see Jesus, but you can follow Him. And I can follow Him. And when we follow Him, good things are going to happen. When I consider every day new blessings coming down from God. Man, God, You're so good to me, and why? Why? A sinner, guilty, saved by the grace of God. The only thing He has good about Him is God inside of Him. That's all we have. But yet, He blesses us. Unbelievable all the time. Is salvation a benefit for following Jesus? Absolutely. Number one in my book. But also knowing why we're here. It's more than just a daily life. You have a purpose, and God desires to use you in a mighty way. But you need to forsake and follow Him. But not only do we find that our past has been forgiven and our present is better, but then we got a future. Now, I've seen my country, America, and I'm going to testify to you. I don't speak English. I speak American. So if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm speaking American. I'm not speaking English. But my country is going down the tubes. I always thought Europe was kind of leading the sin list and America was following her. But now I think she's kind of taking a lead. That breaks my heart as a born-again believer. Breaks my heart to see the country in the condition it is, making the decisions it's making. But what do you expect when you throw God out of the school and you throw God out of the government? Why would we expect anything good to come out of that? But you know what I'm so glad? Is my future isn't in the hands of the President of the United States or the Congress. My future is secure in Jesus Christ. He's my future. He has it all laid out. And what He promises will come to pass. Hey, if Ireland things don't look so good at times, don't worry about it. Keep your eyes on Jesus and follow Him because He holds our future. That ought to excite our soul. Apostle Paul was down on this earth. They take stones, stone him to death. I believe he died. Because he said he knew a man that went up to the third heaven. And he saw some things, unbelievable things. And when he comes back, he tells the people, look, I'd rather be there than to be here. But it's more important right now that I'm here doing God's will than being there. And you know, that's all of us here today. It's more important us doing the will of God right here, right now. Heaven's a certainty for the believer. It's going to happen. It's going to be our future. We don't have to worry about it. But right now, doing the will of God, that's our decision. That's that every moment battle that we have. But as I think about that, it excites my soul. And Paul, you know, he quoted Isaiah 64:4. But he said it in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know what he was saying? I wish I could describe it to you, but I can't. It's better than you can ever imagine, this place called heaven. No eye can explain it. No ear can understand it. It's just better than you can imagine. And you know, when you start studying out the New Jerusalem, that's enough right there. You ever put the mathematics together on that place? The Bible says it's as wide as it is long as it is high. And I believe the measurement comes out to 1,500 miles. Now, in kilometers, I don't know, is that 2,500 kilometers, something like that. Anyway, it's in a huge place. And then the roads or the layers in that place are lined with pure gold. I mean transparent gold. So pure, it's clear. And the Bible says that there's no need of the sun or the moon because the Lord Jesus is the light thereon. I mean, His righteousness and His holiness is going to beam out. We don't need light. And if you think about that, layer through layer through layer, and I believe Jesus is the center of everything, and He's the center of that New Jerusalem and just beaming out. And then hits the foundation because each layer is clear, and that foundation made of 12 different precious stones. I mean, the blues and the yellows and the greens. I mean, beautiful. Can you imagine that light and being 100 miles away and see that thing shine out? That's what New Jerusalem's like. I can't even imagine it. 1 Kings chapter number 10 and verse 1 says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She had heard what the kingdom of Solomon was like, and she said, 'Nah, there's no way it can be as good as those people told me. There's no way.' So you know what she did? She made a trip down there. She looked for herself, and in verse number 6, the Bible says, 'And she said to the king, It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy salvation, of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me of thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard.'" The queen of Sheba said, "I came, and it's better than I ever imagined. Didn't even touch the half of it." Now, she was talking about King Solomon's kingdom. You know what kingdom we have? Jesus' kingdom. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's no comparison. Christian, our future is secure. It's secure. And it's going to be better than you can ever imagine. But you know, preacher, I believe heaven's going to be beautiful. New Jerusalem's going to be incredible. But I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one who gave His life for me. The one who changed my life. That's the one I want to see. And I understand I'm not worthy to be in His presence. And maybe I'll be prostrate before Him, but if somehow I could look up and catch eyes with Him, I pray He would look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord." If He would say that, you know what that would make me understand? That my life was a success for Him. And you know, God desires to say that about every one of us in here. He wants to look you in the eyes and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And when you take everything that there is, you know, that's all that really matters. The Bible says this world's going to burn up. All the possessions thereof, gone. Life is precious. The only thing I heard a preacher say that's going to last is what we've done for Christ. But to look in His eyes and have Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Wow. That is for all the believers if they will faithfully follow Him. You know, now is not the time for us to put our energy into the things of the world. The greatest thing about our lives is not the possessions we own, but doing the will of God each day. He does know best. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. By faith, we trust those things. And we follow Him. What's the result? Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." You know, to worship God, that verse tells it all. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, praise God. Who healeth all thy diseases, praise God. Who redeemeth my life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment upon all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us as after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as from the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. And he remembers that we are dust. Listen, the benefits of following Jesus are innumerable. It's well worth it. Peter would testify, 20 years serving the Lord, 34 years as a Christian, I will testify to you, forsaking all and following Him, the best thing we can do. Peter ends his life. The last verse there in Matthew that we were reading, Matthew chapter number 19, verse 28, says, if I get there, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm sure in Peter's day that many looked at his life and said, what a waste. He lived in a village, he had a business, he had his family, he had his whole future planned. And I'm sure many in that village looked at him and laughed at him, said, what a waste of a life. And then they noticed that he dies for the cause of Christ. History tells us that when his day came to give his life for Christ, they were going to nail him on a cross, but he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Flip me upside down, and I'll die upside down on a cross. I don't know if that happened. That's what historians say. But I do know he gave his life for the cause of Christ. And the world would look at his life and say, what a waste. What a waste. You know, the world may look at our lives and say, what a waste. How foolish to follow Jesus. But they don't understand, do they? Although Peter may have left this life not in first place, I guarantee you when it comes out the time to hand out eternal rewards and glory, he's going to be in the head of the line. And you may end this life and not have a lot of worldly possessions, or the world may not consider your life a success, but if you will forsake and follow Jesus, you're going to be at the head of that line as well. Eternal rewards and glory. Doesn't matter what you give up for Jesus. He knows. He remembers. Our God is not in debt. He always pays and He always does what He says. I wonder this morning, number one, are you saved? If you were to stand before God and have to give an account and He was to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to Him? You know, if you don't know the answer to that, you came to the right place. These folks will take the Bible and they'll show you out of God's Word. This isn't man's word. This is God's Word. What you must do in order to be born into God's family. I encourage you. I beg you. I plead with you. If you don't know for sure that, get that settled today. You're not here by chance. Life isn't a thing by chance. It's a reason you're here today. And if it's for salvation, I urge you to come. Trust the Savior. 34-year satisfied customer right here. Wouldn't have it any other way. Greatest decision, bar none, I made in my entire life. If you've not made that decision, don't wait any longer. Life is but a vapor, here for a short time and gone. Maybe your last opportunity. Only God knows. Don't push off a God that loves you and has died for you and provided the way for you. Come to Him and trust Him. Maybe you're here and you say, Brother Dave, I know I'm saved. Praise God for that. I'm glad you know that. But are you following Jesus? Are you following Him? Is there some things in your life that are precious to you and you're just having a difficult time letting go, but you know God doesn't want it in your life? Can I encourage you today that if you obey the Lord and forsake that, that you will find it's a great, great blessing. You think it's hard, but it's a blessing to give up something for the Lord. Our future, it's secure as believers. We haven't even begun to live yet. The benefits of following Jesus, I can't even number them. I just gave you three. And they're pretty good, amen? Let's pray. Father, I love You this morning. I always enjoy being here in this church. I've only been here a few times. But what You're doing here is amazing. God, we are but dust. And we need Your help. We can't do it on our own. And You're there wanting us, leading us. And all we really need to do is get in and follow You. Help us, Lord, to forsake some things in our lives that we ought to. Help us, Lord, to thank You and praise You for all that You've done. May You bless this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.